text, John chapter number 4. A simple verse, a great truth, stated inadvertently in this passage of Scripture, but very apropos for this day. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Simple little phrase. Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. And of course, salvation is about faith. For by grace are you saved by faith. And that, not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a free gift of God's grace by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But discipleship costs a lot. Salvation is free, but discipleship is costly. And the Bible tells us Jesus baptized, made and baptized more disciples than John. And we want to put it in its context of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18, 19, 20, the Great Commission of our Savior. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me. That power is the power of authority. The authority to give them this edict, this commission. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, obviously, there's a lot of great truths here in this passage of Scripture. The authority of the Great Commission and comes from the Lord Jesus. And it tells us they're to go into all nations, but tells us that they're to teach all nations. Now, if you've been around here long enough, you know that the word teach in Matthew chapter 19 is the word that we get disciples from. It's from the word methete. Verse 28, teaching them. This is talking about teaching those who have been baptized, teaching them to observe all things. This word is the Greek word didasko. It's didactic teaching of the Bible. And it's not intellectual teaching, it's teaching them to observe. And a very important progress here. They're to disciple all nations. And that is a very important word, to disciple. Jesus baptized disciples. And they were to disciple nations, and then they were to baptize them. And Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. And the Bible makes it clear what is the cost of discipleship. It's completely different than the cost of salvation. Salvation costs nothing. It's a decision to turn from our sins as a lost sinner in repentance and to trust completely the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's free. But discipleship is only for believers. It's for believers, for those who have been saved. And now they have come to a place of decision. If you turn with me to John chapter 8, put some of these things together, John chapter 8. And I believe one of the great weaknesses of Christianity today is the lack of emphasis on discipleship. And I believe that one of the great weaknesses of the young generation all across America is that the lack of discipleship. And therefore, and even when you try to do it right, you still end up with a lot of professional Christians. But the text here in John chapter 8, it says, verse 30, and he spake these words, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Wow, what a great passage of scripture. It tells us the distinction between being a believer and being a disciple. And if you turn to the text we looked at this morning, Luke chapter 14, and we were just making it clear that baptism is about discipleship. It's for people who have been saved, but it's people who have decided, who are saved people, who have decided to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 14, notice it tells us that there are three things that prevent a person from being a disciple. And it says in Luke chapter 14, verse 6, 26, if you, any man come unto me and hate not his father or mother or wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. Obviously, this is a figure of speech. Husbands to love their wives and all these things is not contradicted by this, but it's telling us that there should be, there to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, there can't be any personal relationship that comes in the way of following Jesus Christ, even your own life. And then it says, verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross. The cross is a symbol of death. It's a symbol of shame. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Bear his cross. The most despicable form of judgment in the day of Christ for criminals was to hang naked on a cross all day long. The most shameful thing that could ever happen to a person. Take up his cross, the willingness to identify without shame with Jesus Christ and what and his death, burial, and his resurrection with the gospel. The apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Bear his cross, the price to follow Jesus Christ. It's a price that's calculated. Jesus Christ is the most important person in my life. Salvation is the most important thing ever could happen in my life. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my Lord. I will follow him no matter what, no matter what rejection, no matter mockery, whatever, I will follow Jesus Christ. That's the mark of a disciple. And baptism is for disciples. It is not a religious ritual that people just do. And a lot of churches, they just do it. They just do it. And it's almost a mockery of the New Testament and mockery of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. Discipleship. And Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. And you know, as we think about this, what are the costs of or the marks or the prerequisites of a disciple? We already discussed some of them. Number one, a believer. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Jesus said to those believers, those that believed on him, if you continue my word, ye shall be my disciples indeed. Now, that's a pretty good description of the word of disciple. You see, my disciples indeed, they're people who claim to be his disciples, but a true disciple. That's what he's talking about. Now, so they are a believer, but they are a person who is unashamedly identified with Jesus Christ. Unashamedly. He made and baptized more disciples than John. You know, on an Israel trip a number of years ago, our group was going to go down to Hezekiah's tunnel, which connected the pool Gihon, the spring Gihon, to the interior of the city of Jerusalem. And Hezekiah had it built so that when there was a siege around the city, this city could have water. And so this water there was a tunnel made. And so we went to go see that tunnel. And we got to that place where you go down to where the tunnel is, and there's a gate there. And the guide said, we have to wait. There's an Orthodox Jewish young man going through a ritual bath. That's what they did. They had ritual baths. They were called immersions. And he came up through the gate there, and I remember just seeing this young man thinking, oh, this guy he's really serious. I mean, there's plenty of sinners out there. There are plenty of Orthodox Jews that probably are unclean, but there's one. And there's just a sense of solemnity there. A sense of solemnity. This guy's really serious about what he's doing. Well, exactly. John the Baptist took the Jewish Levitical rite of baptism and for Levitical cleansing and gave it a new meaning, a picture of a people who had repented of their sins and were publicly proclaiming their faith in the coming Messiah and their adherence to living a righteous life, the straight and narrow. And very solemn. But you know, it's more than solemn. It's an unashamed identification with Jesus Christ. And of course, that is given us in Romans chapter 6. That identification with Jesus Christ. And we aren't going to preach that sermon. But verse 4 and 5, that identification, but therefore we are buried with him. That's an identification with Christ by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we all should be in newness of life. For if we've been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now there's some key words here, planted. And the word likeness. Those peoples, those who have sacerdotal religion, who point to this verse as the verse that tells us you're saved by baptism, obviously have taken it out of context. They don't look at the whole text. It says, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death. There's symbolism and there is identification. You know, they say that imitation is the highest form of admiration. Imitation is the highest form of admiration. You can tell who a person worships, who they admire by the kind of clothes that they wear, how they conduct themselves, whatever. They're identifying themselves with what's really important to them, the image they want to have. Well, baptism identifies us with the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we implant in likeness of his death. We have a cemetery over here, and everybody that has been put in that cemetery, we buried them. They died first. That was a difficult thing, but they had to die. And we took those people who died, want to be buried in our cemetery, and we buried them. They're all the way underneath the ground. And you know, when they were buried, they were put in a coffin and their face up was up. Did you know that? Why? Because one day they're going to rise again. Amen. Amen? They're going to get up from the sleep of their body. But you know, baptism is a picture of the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He is buried. And in 3 days, he rose up from the dead. Amen. Jesus Christ, he died and paid the full payment of our sin. And he rose again, conquering death and the devil and sin. And that simple message, by putting your faith 100% in what Jesus Christ did as a lost sinner, you'll be saved. Amen? Amen. And you know, when you get saved, something happens. Your old life is gone forever. That's wonderful. Isn't that great? Your old life is gone. Take the date that you were saved. That person you were before that date, they're gone. They'll never exist again. Amen? Amen. And when you got saved, you became a new person. You became a new person. And when a person is baptized, they are... Number one, identifying with the most rejected person in the whole world, Jesus Christ. Still mocked to the nth degree. One of the number one curse words in the world today, Jesus, the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But you identify with him. Boy, this is pretty serious stuff. But it's also, the Bible says, that we're planted in the likeness. It's symbolical. We're identifying with Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. He rose from the dead. And we're identifying with the fact that we have been saved and our old life is gone. And we have a new life and we want everybody to know, and we're not ashamed to tell people. Now, they don't do this, and I know our missionaries, but I remember reading about a missionary in Africa. Now, when someone's going to get baptized, they'd have on a white robe, and they'd walk down to the river to get baptized. Now, to me, that's still kind of scary because there are a lot of, bad creatures in those rivers over there. I wouldn't go swimming in one of those rivers. But they wouldn't go directly to the river. No way. Uh-uh. They marched right past the house where that person lived, on the way to the river. Because baptism is a public testimony to the world of my identification with Jesus Christ, my unashamedness of him, and my commitment to walk that new life I have in Jesus Christ. And so, it says, planted in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And that we should walk in newness of life. You know, putting all the theological words aside, what does the world say? So when they see someone get baptized, they say, whoa, boy, that guy is serious, right?
They must really mean it. That's the message. Exactly. It's unashamed identification with Jesus Christ. So, the costs of, or marks of a disciple, a believer. Number two, unashamedly identifying with Christ. Number three, continuing in the Word. Turn with me again to John chapter 8. Notice what it says. John chapter 8. It says, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Continue in my word. And the Bible says, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they that received his word were baptized and added unto that same day, added unto them 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Wow. Continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What does it mean? They continued hearing the Bible. They continued receiving the Bible. You know, it's pretty simple. A person who continues in his word, that means they don't get tired of hearing the Bible preached. Amen? They don't get tired of learning God's word. They don't get tired of obeying the Bible. They don't get tired of it. That's a disciple. They're a committed follower of Jesus Christ. And they continue. And you know, when you get saved, you know, God starts working on your life. And the fact is, he keeps on working on your life. And you know what? We got a long ways to go, all of us. And I mentioned this the other day, just this morning. You know, some people, they hear something in the Bible and they don't like it. And then that's the last you hear of them. Well, guess what? Doesn't matter what they say, they aren't a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because you know, there's things in the Bible going to hit us right, step right on our toes, and it's going to go, it's going to cause us to have to make some changes, eat some humble pie. But you know, a disciple is one who continues in the Word of God. You know, the world doesn't understand this crowd. Do you know that? The world doesn't understand that most of this crowd is going to be here Sunday night. And you know why they're going to be here Sunday night? Because they want to be. Amen? And why are they going to be here Wednesday night? Because they want to be. Because they continue in His Word. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The voice is the Word of God. They continue in His Word. And so let's go to another great passage of Scripture about discipleship in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. So, disciple is a believer. A disciple is one who unashamedly identifies with Christ. A disciple is one who continues in His Word. He hears the Word of God. It might take him a little bit of time to obey it, but he's going to obey it. He's going to do it. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, a disciple, the word disciple comes from the Greek word methete, which means to learn. But it really means more than to learn. It means someone who is learning so that they can obey. And here we have that great thing put together. Follow me. You know, a disciple is a follower. They follow Jesus Christ. They follow Him. Wow. That's pretty simple, isn't it? They follow Jesus Christ. It's a simple disciple. They're following Christ. And Jesus said, follow me. Now, very simple truth. Why did Jesus come to this earth? He came to die for man's sins. And what did he tell us? He told us that we should be witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the world. He said, we should be a witness. Follow me. Specifically, it's talking about the path of obedience, but it is emphasizing the fact that a soul winner, a witness for Jesus Christ. Now, we could say so many other things about this. Jesus said in John 13:34, by this all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. A disciple is one who loves the people of God. A disciple is one who loves God's institution, the local church. You can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ without loving the local church. That's his institution for this age. And you show that you love the people of God when you're a part of a local church and you're doing what's right in a local church, etc. The costs and marks. But I want to emphasize something else today that goes along with this. I want to talk about the benefits of being a disciple. The benefits of being a disciple. Now, you know, the human side is people oftentimes think, boy, that costs a lot to follow Jesus Christ. Well, the fact is, it costs a lot more not to follow Jesus Christ. It costs a whole lot more not to follow Jesus Christ. And so if you're indecisive, let me tell you what, you're the loser. You're the loser. But let's talk about the benefits of following Jesus Christ, of being a disciple. Yes, we tried to paint a high picture here, what it means to be a disciple, committed follower of Jesus Christ. But turn back with me to John chapter 8 of what does it say? What are the benefits of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? And of course, all those, there's so many things we could say about all of this, but John said, Jesus said in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. What does it tell us then? It tells us the benefit of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is you will know the truth. You will know the truth. Because you see, truth is not merely an intellectual exercise. Truth is a spiritual reality. And it only comes through obedience. You can't know the truth until you obey it. Then that is so much emphasized in the Bible. John chapter 7 and verse 17. Jesus says, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You know, it's saying a very simple truth. It's saying that truth is experienced. Yes, it's intellectual, it's in the Bible, but there's two sides to the truth. One is hearing it, and the other side is obeying it. And knowing the truth comes when you obey it. Now, how, you know, that's pretty simple in life. That's what life is all about, but so many things that are true. You know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can smell a steak. Now, I can't hardly smell them anymore. But you could look at that steak and see it on the grill, and you could smell it, and you could say, boy, that must taste good. But you won't know until you do it. That's right. And same thing about sin. You know, You can be a person and says, boy, I, you know, my body's a temple, Holy Spirit, and it's the holy place of God, and I shouldn't be polluting my Bible with my body with drugs or with cigarettes. And I remember a lady that was in our church, and she got saved, and she got rid of her cigarettes. And I remember after she got rid of them, she says, you know what? I never knew how much that stunk. You know, smoking stinks. You know, and she was really adamant, you know. But it was before and after. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, she was free. Because why? She really knew what it was. She really knew how evil it was. She knew how filthy it was. She knew how much she was addicted to it, but she had to get on the other side. And she had to know the truth. And the truth is known when you obey the truth. It is known in a special way. And of course, we gave the other part away. You're free. The benefit of being a disciple? Free! Free! It's a miserable life. It's a miserable life. Whatever it is, fighting temptation, thinking about what the world thinks. You know, what a miserable life to be so consumed with thinking about what everybody thinks. You know, when this COVID pandemic came about, the first thing was, boy, we got to be careful. You know, we want to have an image that we care about people's health. And, you know, that was reasonable. But the more it went on, I thought, you know, this smells like rotten eggs. You know, and I was weighing in my mind, well, what are people going to think? You know, you're open. What are people going to think? And I stopped and I said, you know what? We don't ask the public what they think about what we preach about modesty. We don't ask the public what they think about what they think about us preaching no drinking. We don't care what the public says when we tell them that, you know, gender distinctive clothing. We aren't going to ask them, and we don't care what they say. We're going to do what's right. And I says, why should I be thinking about what the... They don't care about what we think anyhow. Let's care about what God thinks. Amen? Care about what God thinks. We aren't getting our beliefs from this world, and we're not trying to impress them. Certainly we care, but when it comes down to it, we're going to get a belief from the Bible. Amen? And you know, it's great to be free, isn't it? Oh, some people, they're so afraid. Oh, boy. Man. But you know, when you get saved, I remember going into the TSC. I guess I'm supposed to be old, you know? And this one cashier there, she says, what are you doing in here? Oh, and it just dawned on me. Oh, I'm over 70. You know, I have health problems. And I might get it. And I'm supposed to be isolating myself. You know? And I got it. I says, well, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, the angel of the Lord campeth round about them that fear him. I'm going to trust God. And she heard my answer, and I think she figured, yeah, that's about kind of appropriate for this guy. Free. Free. Now, you know, sin is powerful. And when you follow Jesus Christ, you get victory over sin. And you know, it's a horrible thing to be plagued by sin. It's a horrible thing to be plagued by sin. Because you know, when you don't have victory over sin, that's plaguing your mind all the time. It's there. And when you get victory over that, and you've continued in the Word of God, it's like, oh, it is so great to be free. You know, the world, there's so much in bondage to so much stuff. Huh. It's great to be free. Now you can be free through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's great to be free. A disciple is free. Second, next, a disciple is a person who is transformed. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know, that's exciting. Following Jesus Christ, he says, you follow me and I will change your life. That's kind of putting it in different words, right? That's what he says. Follow me and I'll change your life. I'll change you. I'll make you into a fisher of men, a transformation that takes place when a person becomes a committed follower of Jesus Christ. It's great. A transformation. You know, I like my friend Phil Rhodes. One great sermon he preached. He's talking about soul winning. He says, introvert, extrovert, or convert. That's what it's all about. You know, some people, they have no trouble making conversation. But that doesn't make them a good soul winner. And some people are so shy they can't open their mouth. They're afraid. That doesn't make them a bad soul winner. What makes them a soul winner is following Jesus Christ. And he changes them. He changes their life. It's exciting to be a part of the transformation that Jesus Christ brings into your life when you follow him. Amen? Amen. It's wonderful. You know, people are afraid of the greatest things on earth. Transformation. Now, notice he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You know, not only there's a transformation, but now when you follow Jesus Christ, you are connected to God's eternal purpose for your life. I'll make you to become fishers of men. You are connected to God's eternal purpose for your life. Influencing souls for eternity. Seeing people get saved. Being a part of what God is doing. You know, the Acts of the Apostles is the name of the title of the book in the Bible. But you know, really, if you think about it, it's really, as you read that beginning, Luke says wrote the Gospel of Luke of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And you know what the book of Acts is? It's all what Jesus is continuing to do through the Holy Spirit in the life of the apostles. What he is continuing to do. Be connected with God's eternal purpose in your life. Now, if you're unsaved, I hope you're thinking about the fact that life without God is empty. What good would it be for you to be a successful businessman, have a cottage on the lake up north, have a nice fishing boat, have a nice family, and die and go to hell? What good would it do? None. Won't do any good. And the same thing, to be a Christian and not be a disciple is to live an empty life. But when you're a disciple, you are connected to God's eternal purpose, and you become an instrument of God. I will make you to become fishers of men. And you know, that's what a great truth it is. And I'm challenging you today allow the Lord Jesus Christ to transform your life so you can be an effective witness for Christ. But lastly, I want to say about the benefits, and I'm going to close here, the benefits of being a disciple is that a disciple is a person who is a leader for God. A disciple is a leader. A lot of people don't get this. But this is a simple truth. How do you become a leader for God? Very simple. You follow Jesus Christ. And you say to those people back there, hey, come on! This is where we're going. 1 Corinthians 11, Apostle Paul says, be followers of me as I am also of Christ. You know, how does a man become a spiritual leader of his family? By following Jesus Christ. You follow Jesus Christ. Now you know how to lead your family. If you don't follow Jesus Christ, you don't know how to. People say, well, you know, how do I have family devotions? Well, that's not too hard. You know what? You just have your family do what you're doing. That's not too difficult, is it? You just have your family do what you're doing. You're reading the Bible. You're meeting God in His Word. And he's you know, leading you to do the right thing. Well, now you can tell the family what to do. You're going to tell them to do what God told you to do. Really, it's really simple. You know, this is an example, and I didn't know this till years later. What does it take to be a leader? I remember hearing the story of a dear man in our church who was a leader. But he was at church one Sunday, and he heard a message. And that day at family devotions, he said, you know, Pastor preached on such and such today. And you know what? We need to change that. We need to change that in our life. We need to do what he says. Boy, that's simple. He was a leader by what? Being a follower of Jesus Christ. And a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. It's so simple. It's so simple. But what a blessing. What a blessing to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the benefits of following Jesus Christ are far greater than any cost that it might involve to follow Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a cost. But as one of our members one time said, I said, have you, on his baptism, have you counted the cost of following Jesus Christ? And he said, yes, Pastor, and I've also counted the cost of what it would be if I didn't follow Jesus Christ. How appropriate truth. A disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, you can't be a disciple until, first of all, you're saved. Amen? You got to be saved. And if you're not saved, not only are you not a disciple, but you're on your way to hell. That's a horrible thing. But if you're a disciple, if you're a believer, you can be a disciple. But it doesn't come by accident. It's a definite decision, commitment, recognition, surrender, obedience to Jesus Christ, in which you are really putting your whole life in focus. And that has to be obviously refocused many, many times in life. But you know, it's a simple truth. If there's something that takes place in your life and you stop following Jesus Christ, you're no longer a disciple. You're no longer a disciple. You're no longer following him. And the devil wants to put something in your life to cause you to say, I'm not going to follow Christ. Not in that area. Now you've given up the whole truth of a person who follows Jesus Christ no matter what. That is a disciple. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that it is a glorious thing that sinners can be saved, and it's a glorious thing. What a privilege. More than we can comprehend, Lord, that saved sinners could publicly take on the badge of Jesus Christ. They could publicly identify with the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lord of lords and King of kings. Publicly identify with him as belonging to him, knowing him, believing on him, desirous to follow him in believer's baptism. Lord, what a glorious privilege it is. I pray that, Lord, that this is a time that would have helped these who are being baptized today to put even more significance to this very important ordinance. And may it cause it to be, as they review these things in their mind, may those truths and commitments be firmly established in their souls, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for others who are here who, Lord, are believers, and yet they're hesitant. Lord, they've hesitated to make that step to be a real disciple, committed follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, free them from that bondage. Bring them into victory, Lord. Even today, might you work in their hearts to make that commitment to follow Jesus Christ in every area of their life by your grace. And I pray, Lord, that anyone is here that is not saved, that Lord, that they would be brought to the Savior. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You're here today and you're a Christian. And the Spirit of God is speaking to you. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers. You love the Lord, but you're hesitant to follow him completely. And God is speaking to your heart and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to let the Lord Jesus Christ be first in my life and be willing to follow him no matter what. And might be some specific things that need to take place right now to make that decision real. But you say, Pastor, pray for me. God is speaking to my heart about being unashamed, committed follower of Jesus Christ. And that decision needs to take place in your life. And by grace of God, it's going to take place right now. Say, Pastor, pray for me. God is speaking to my heart about that decision. Anyone here today? Okay. All right. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. Perhaps you're here today as a believer. You lost a little bit of sight of your commitment to Christ, and God is speaking to your heart about your walk with the Lord and recommitting yourself and your soul about not being ashamed of the Lord and following Him in your life in every way by God's grace. Anyone here today spoken to your heart? Okay. All right. Amen. Perhaps you're here today and say, I'm not saved. I'd like to be. And God is working in my heart. Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. Would you slip up your hand? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Spirit. We pray, Lord, for these souls that need to be saved. The fact that they're raising their hand speaks of the great spiritual battle that is raging over the souls of men and women and children. And Lord, might you intervene, give grace in their lives, Lord, that they might easily come in faith and repentance to the Savior and be born into your family. We ask, Lord, for your moving. In Jesus' name, amen.